Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 144, part 2, Beware the Snare. Today is Sunday, April 25th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janina@pastorpaul.org. You will also find scripture links there at the blog. So be sure to join us for both parts on Friday, part one, and on Sunday, part two of Pastor Paul's messages. This is the lineup for the month of April. Our first message, a heavenly rest involves decision. The truth causes battles. Beware the snare. And a profit and loss statement. There you have it, the month of April. Enjoy the podcast. We'll see you back here each week. God bless you.
And you'll tempt someone else with fame to be popular and to be well known and to. You'll tempt some with money. Oh, so many people are tempted with money. Oh, I don't know. I'd like to try it once. I would just like to try it one time. I've just promised God it would never change me. You've already changed because you want to try it. You want to try it so bad. And he tempts some with wrong friends. Now, so many times we get wrong friends. But you see, birds of a feather flock together. You got the old gossip birds, and man, all they can do is just sit and gossip. And you got the slander birds, and all they can do is just sit and slander. And you got the old complaining birds, and all they can do is sit and complain. And I said, and then she said, and then he said, oh, I'm just sick of it. How about you? Well, I've been thinking the same thing myself. I don't mean to complain. Well, then shut up. I don't mean to complain, but. Did you ever hear somebody like that? How stupid. I don't mean to complain, but. Doesn't it make you want to take an old sweat sock and stuff it in their mouth? I don't mean to complain, but. Oh, then don't. I mean, why torture yourself? And you know, if you didn't take that sock out of their mouth, they would blow up. Oh, and he'll tempt some with perversion. And then he uses pride. Oh. That's the snare that's laid on so many. You're no dummy. You know how to quit. You know when to quit too. You can do it moderately. You can have one drink. You can quit anytime you want to. And I've heard people say that. Oh, I can quit anytime I want to. How old are you? 75? Now, how long have you been telling yourself that? Oh, I never wanted to. Interesting. Well, I even mentioned that you could quit anytime. No, I don't have to have drugs. I can quit anytime. How many are hearing this? I don't want a lot of power. I just want a little bit of power. You know what I mean? You can get a little bit of power. And you get the feeling of a little bit of power. You're going to want more power. It's like riding your first motorcycle. You get the first one that's a 50cc and it just sort of a little buzz on the seat of your pants. Beep! Beep! Boy, you're jumping around on that thing out there in the hill. Beep! And you think right away, you know what I'd like to have? I'd like to have 100. That's the one that irritates the dogs and they run out and bite your elbows off. Not quite fast enough to get away. Then you got to have more power. So you go to the 250 and the 350 and the 1,000 and you say, ooh. Then you put one of those 318 Plymouth engines inside of the motorcycle. Lay down and drive it. And that's the same way when we get a little bit of power. We want more. Even the holy man. Wow. I am so holy, I thank God I'm not like others. So he folds his arms and he perishes in his own slothfulness. Now, you know what? It's about 1:45 and there's some of them old sluggards. They're up there sleeping. They're going to, you know, well, I'll get up tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. But tomorrow never, and tomorrow you're going to get up. Hey, just get out of bed right now. Surprise your wife, get up out of the bed and stumble over to the Davenport. So when she comes home from work, she's encouraged that you've moved. Mark it down. Satan knows all of your weak points. He knows your loves and he knows your hates. He knows your jealousies. He knows your habits and he knows your selfishness. He knows your rebelliousness. Oh. What a terrible thing that is, jealousy. It sort of crawls all over you. Is there a song like that? I think there is. Jealousy, it's crawling all over me, huh? Did you ever hear that one? It does. It crawls all over you. It starts to crawl on the crawls up your legs and it gets on your knees and it crawls up all over your whole body and pretty soon it consumes you and you're a monster. I can't stand her. I can't stand him. Huh? But he'll find out, our easily, it says in the Bible, besetting sin. And there, if he can, he will attempt to work out our ruin and our destruction. I remember the very day that I was delivered from alcohol. It was not by power, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's the only way you're going to be delivered by the Holy Ghost. Totally delivered, so you have the desire isn't there. And you know why the desire isn't there? You do not desire to see someone else fall into that snare of the devil. My God, I don't want this man to go through life like this, or this woman, or I don't want that for them. But oh, bless God, it is written, listen to it, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. I believe then in the very next place, the fowler's snare is frequently connected with pleasure. That's a snare, isn't it? Pleasure. Isn't that a snare? You're going on a vacation, let's say, and you're going to have a nice rest and a nice time. And so what do? You go seeking pleasure. Let's go to Disneyland. Oh, Disney tickets. And you're waiting in line, and you get the tickets, and you go through this little thing, and this cage, and this cage, and this cage, and this cage, and they got all these cages. It's like cattle. And this cage, and this cage. See, it's actually about 4 miles long, and it's shrunk into an 8-foot space, and back and forth. And finally you get up to the window. And you get in there and you move en masse into Disneyland. You got to be dizzy to go in there in the first. That's why they call it Disneyland. And you get in there and you got to have all the, and you're in a hurry. You're trying to get on these rides and the kids are yelling and screaming, I want to go on this and I want to go on that. Oh, that's a snare. You don't have no fun. Let's go over to SeaWorld. And then you go over to SeaWorld. And you get over there and that's a snare. It's a waste of time. You aren't having any fun. You might as well go out and look at nature. You get over at SeaWorld over there and they say, next show, and it's 2 o'clock, next show at 4:30. So you have to wait till all them fishies take a nap, see? That's a snare. Isn't that a snare? And another snare is, that the whole of your vacation, you're looking for some place to eat. Where are we going to eat? So you go to visit your folks, and you go to your brothers and your sisters and everything. And, where do you want to eat tonight? Well, my God, I don't want to eat. Let's just sit down and visit. We just got done eating. Now you're talking about going to eat again. That's a snare, isn't it? Pleasure is a snare. And then profit. That's a snare, isn't it? Well, how much is in it for me? What do I get out of it? How will I profit? I don't do things for nothing, you know. Not me. Now, some people, they volunteer their time. And by the time you get done pinning medals on them, my God, you'd be better off paying them. Say amen, somebody. They want credit for everything they do. I got up this morning. Oh, okay, I got up. A pin. Medal for getting up. I stayed awake all day. A stay awake pin. Wow. Huh? Look how much I did. I got this done. Oh, look how much I did, pin. Oh. Isn't that a snare? Isn't that the fowler? And there's the advantage. That's a snare. To have the advantage on somebody. But in the bird's case, you see, it was a seed scattered all over the ground that brings him into the snare. How many hear it? But usually you see Satan uses these temptations to beguile us. Oh, says one, I can't give this thing up. I just can't give it over. I'm consumed with this anger. Ah! Or it's too precious to me. You don't know how much I love it. Now, there's a whole lot of people going to have to give up every teaching they've learned over the last of the 13 years. And they're having a hard time tuning down to the gospel of Jesus Christ because they become so knowledgeable in their own self-knowledge. Now they're going to have to whittle away and they're going to have to trim it down a little bit because it was a snare and it was a trap of the fowler. But I can't give it up. I love it so much. You've never experienced this high that I've had. It's my love. It's my life. Well, if your teachings get to be your life, my God, you're a bore. But you don't know how much it is a part of me. My God, it's a part of me. Or you never asked me to leave it. I love it. But don't you see its sweetness makes it more dangerous? Don't you see that? And I believe this, that Satan never sells his poisons raw. He sugarcoats every poison that he'll give you. Are you hearing this? But look out for pleasures. Know what you are at when you are at it. Well, the world says, have at it. I believe there's a lot of them that are innocent and helpful, but many of them are destructive. It's sad that the most beautiful cactuses are surrounded by the most venomous snakes out in the desert. Because your fairest pleasures will harbor your grossest sins. What you love the most will cause you to have the grossest of sin. And it says that Cleopatra's asp was introduced, I believe, in a basket of flowers. Isn't that right? And he offers the drunk one smell of booze. Oh, man, how I used to love that. And now I smell someone. It's the grace of God that delivered me. I know it because someone, especially a woman, has got booze on her breath. It makes me want to vomit. And then he entices, listening now. Come on, you on the radio there. You that are having trouble with these porno books. He'll entice you with them. Maybe you're sitting in prison right now. Maybe you got into kiddie porno or something like that and you got enticed. Well, that's the snare of the fowler. And you listening out there now, there's snares. There's all those snares are out there right now through the news media and through the satellite dish and through the snake cable TV that comes into the houses. But sometimes the snarer, he wisely employs the force of an example. I pray to God that I be an example of telling the truth. Because somebody in the end is going to have to be very, very truthful. Say amen. Somebody is going to have to minister the truth and tell people, my God, tell the truth. Stop prophesying over yourself. Stop trying to be an example of spirituality and just come down to earth. But see, by an example, like decoy ducks bring in the other ducks. Like the duck call. Wah! And how often people follow after someone because they're religious or because they have a word for them. They almost fall down following. Have you got a word for me? Have you a word? I would turn around and say, stop following me! It's a word for today! Make me nervous! Oh. The people that are so full of theology but never offer the Lord Jesus Christ. Never tell their people that they must be born again. Never. Because Satan never sends an open sinner, but he sends a religious-looking fellow, don't you see, to lead you into sin. He sends someone who might say, brother. Brother? Just this week, I sat down with a guy and he called me brother and I thought, my God, you are not my brother. Brother. Have you sat down with somebody that's called you brother or sister? Lately, and you knew they weren't your brother and you knew they weren't your sister. Brother, let me tell you something, brother. Have you? But that's who Satan will send. Someone that will call you brother. Someone that will say yes. Someone will say, hey, I'm going to do everything I can. Which, of course, is nothing. And then if this person goes astray by the very force of his example, oh God, people just fall in the old net, don't they? Preacher, are you hearing me? Look out for your very best friends and be careful of your companions and choose the best that you know how. And then follow them no further than they follow Jesus Christ. And if they don't follow Jesus Christ in his suffering, don't follow him at all. Because there's going to have to be choices made in the end who you're going to follow. Say with old Joshua, let others do what they will do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, but there was a whole lot of his house that wasn't with him. But note sometimes this, that sometimes when the fowler fails to take his birds by direct craft, he'll go hawking after it. Now listen real careful. What does that mean, hawking? You ever seen a hawker? I'm not talking about a hawking gobs. I'm talking about a hawker. Someone that puts the veil over the hawk's eyes and then lifts it. And he sends up his hawk up into the air and he says, bring down the prey. And he sends out hawks. Man, that is a nasty looking bird. They take that thing off and they take this little hood off them and their eyes just sort of roll around. They're all gray and funny looking. He takes the strap off him. And I believe this often happens when the devil can't ruin a man by getting him to commit sin. He attempts to slander him. Now, I talked to four preachers this week that are going through that. One preacher told me, now this is some time back, one preacher told me by telephone call, he says, I have a young associate with me, and I've been taking him around and training him, and all over the city right now, they're calling us a couple of queers. Brother, what do I do? Oh, I says, well, in the first place, you do not answer. Don't fight it. I said, you have been loyal. You have been faithful. I know your ministry. And this is a direct slander upon you. And don't you listen to it. I was down here some time ago, and I was standing in the kitchen, and an inspector came in, and he started to commence to talk about Rev Peterson. I said, brother, I don't care if you're checking out my building here for fire hazards. I think what you're saying stinks, and you can mark me F all the way through. I'm not going to listen to your crap. That's what I told him. I got A+ all the way through. But I wasn't going to listen to that. Slandering a man of God that had been ministering for some 40-some years, sleeping in the back of his car, teaching Sunday school, getting up, sweeping the floors, cleaning the toilet bowls, crawling around in the windows, pulling drunks out of the alleys, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, traveling, evangelizing. And what he sends up a hawk after him to bring him down by slandering a good name. And calls are made. And then innuendos. What's an innuendo? It's someone that starts an innuendo. Let me warn all of you. If you are slandered, don't try to prove anything. Did you hear me? If you are slandered, don't try to prove. Don't start singing. Say it isn't so. Ooh. Say it isn't so. Ooh. People all around me know the slander's found me. Say it isn't so. Huh? No. You know how you overcome slander? You know how you overcome slander? By flying above it. By lifting up your wings and flying up and over it. Up over the hawk. You know why that is? So he can't bring you down. See, he must swoop down to destroy you. Huh? Are you hearing this, preacher? And four calls this week. Brother, what do I do? The whole body's come against me. What happened? I said, there was a snake in the audience. Preacher, he can't do nothing if you fly above him. Don't let the hawk of slander fly over you. And if any slander you, don't come down to them. Let them slander on and on and on and on, and let them just have a field day. Preachers, listen to it. Don't become disheartened. People are fickle. Aren't we fickle? Aren't we fickle? I can't say enough for Pastor Ebenezer. I just love him so. And Pastor Ebenezer comes up. I don't think you should be doing this, sticking your gum on the bottom of the seat. Nasty! He goes out there, you know what, that Ebenezer? He's a crazy man. Checking the bottoms of the seat for gum, scraping it, went through the hole, just like a crazy man, or something like that. And all of a sudden, this person isn't worth nothing. People, we are fickle. We're fickle in our love affair for one another. We can turn it on and turn it off just like that. It's only the love of God that constrains, and it's only the love of God that will help you through this thing. It's only the grace of God that will help you through this thing. Fickle. Are you hearing this? I mean, I haven't got time. Preacher, listen to me. I know that there's one particular preacher that is aching. One, there's three of them that had to move out of the city. Nate Mullen is one of the men that moved out of the city. Nate Battle is another one that moved. These are brothers that I prayed with every Tuesday. And they have been come against. Pastor Peterson. Jesus People Church. Hey. Preacher. Learn how to tell the truth. Don't be afraid. You just start telling the truth, see, about how it is. Now, if you were to turn aside and notice every little sparrow that chirps at us, or every old crow, that's all you'd be doing all day long. Caw, caw, caw. Chirp, chirp, chirp. And you'd be looking all day long, spending your whole day looking at these chirpers and cars. Are you hearing this, people out here? And this is for you too. Don't pay attention to all the chirping and all the cawing. Because that's all you'll be doing is answering the chirpings and the cawings of the crows and the sparrows. I mean, myself, preacher, if I was to fight on every doctrine that I preach, I would do nothing else but answer the devil. Face it, some people love to argue. You ever been around a person, they just love to argue. They love it. They have to. They are consumed with it. They can't stand it. They have to have an argument every day. Well, I haven't had an argument yet today. I haven't had an argument, so they're driving home, and they got to have an argument. And someone slows down a bit. Beep, 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 beep. Hey! Huh? They can't stand it. They got to have an argument. And they'll get out of the car and they'll run back there and they're livid white, you know? Because they didn't have an argument. I have got to have an argument. What will I argue about today? And then sometimes people know exactly what to argue with some people about. You know what I mean? Oh, okay. Well, did you want to tell us a story? No, go ahead. You know what I mean, though, don't you, Moses? They know how to get your what? No, your lamb. You're no goat. I guess that is the goat part of us, though, ain't it? Let him have the goat. Is that right? And you'll be answering him all day long and you lose your peace. I've come to the conclusion people can say whatever, but I must go on. I must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, rose again. I must preach full salvation, rich and full and free and forever. I must preach the limitless love and the limitless grace and the limitless forgiveness. And I'm going to fly above the slander when it comes. And it will. And lift the gospel above all the confusion. Don't fight slander. Remember what Jesus said. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Do you think that Jesus was slandered? Oh my God, he was slandered. God was slandered. Now, the slanderer could come up after he's slandered and make a public apology. You know what? The public is not interested in the apology. I apologize. I was 150% wrong. And they'd say, oh, he got paid off, see? Paid him off, scared him. So now he's making up. They wouldn't believe it. We would rather believe gossip and slander. Why is that? I never could figure that out. The people still believe the slander. Oh, but remember, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Oh, I love that. And now let's close with a deliverance. Let's wrap it up. Two thoughts. From and out of. First, he delivers them from the snare. He does not let them get into it. Beware of the snare of the fowler. And how does he deliver them from the snares? Very often by trouble. By throwing a rock at the bird that's ready to go underneath the little crate there with the stick my brother and I have. Someone over in here is tee-heeing over in here on the other side, and they throw little pebbles out there. And the bird is troubled. He goes, and he gets troubled right out of the snare. By trouble, by affliction, by people. Is you ever going to do something wrong and there's a whole lot of people around? Huh? Why don't they leave so I can do wrong? Why don't you do right like some other people do? Huh? Isn't there a song like that? Yeah, there is. Do you ever try and God sends everybody away? You're trying to get in your mother's purse when you're a kid. Normally there's nobody around. And all of a sudden your little brother's behind there. Freddie! Freddie! The little brother, you know. What's he doing up out of bed? He's standing there with his old jammies on, you know, and his hair all ruffled up. You're stealing out of mom's purse! Huh? And God delivers you. Sometimes you're afflicted. Times you're persecuted. Anything to get your attention so you won't go into the net. You're trying so hard to do wrong and everybody's there. God, why don't they just get lost? God is delivering you out of the snare of the fowler. Did you ever try to go off someplace all by yourself? Seems like every squad car in the world is there. They rendezvous around you. Like camping, right, Dolores? Right? And you wake up, it seems like every bird in the world, you're trying to get a rest. Every bird in the world is there. Chirp, 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 chirp. Huh? Right? You're going to have a nice sluggard time sitting home watching TV. Ring! The telephone rings all night long. God, what do they want? Why, it's God delivering you out of the snare of the fowler. You're just going to lay down and waste your life away, and it seems like everybody is calling on the phone. Everybody's knocking at the door. Open the door, Richard, huh? I mean, you know. by troubles, by afflictions. Hey, negative preaching, if I ever heard it in my whole life. God does not cause affliction. Oh, yeah? Well, you just keep thinking that. What do you think he's got a rod for? To afflict your head. This is very negative preaching, and I will not stand for it. I will turn the radio off, and I will never listen to you again. Because I come from positive preaching, and we just positively don't believe anything negative. God created everything. He created. Hey, if he didn't create negative, what are you doing here? Huh? How do you like that one? Oh, sometimes. It's like we're on this high scaffold, see, and we're peening away, and we're just right to the very edge, and we're going to step back. And down below is 150 feet fall. Somebody yells up, "Hey, dummy! What?" Whoa. It's the same way with your own life, isn't it? Sometimes we paint a pretty picture and we just walk backwards and we backslide into oblivion. Somebody yells. See, it's all these things. It's the sorrows and the griefs and the troubles and the woes and the losses and the crosses. All these have been the breaking of the net that set us free, yes, set us free from the snare of the follower. And other times he sets us free by giving us great spiritual strength, the spirit of courage to go on. I remember a message I really needed to preach for myself. It was courage. Just to go on. And so when they tempted, they'll say like this, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now that's spiritual. See, when you do things, you don't do things against people, you do them against God. But also God delivers his people when they get into the snare, doesn't he? "Oh, I can't return. I can't. I've done too much wrong." I say you can, and you will, and you must. Surely, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Sometimes by affliction, sometimes by trouble, sometimes by trial, some means or another, our God will surely deliver us and deliver his people out of the net of the fowler. I love that word, surely. I love it because it is a promise. Surely. How he works it out is entirely up to him. I'm not going to claim it to be any way. I just know he surely will do it. Maybe by taking my physical life. And even if you're rebellious, he will surely work it out. Isn't that great and wonderful? Listen, you listening, you may be the very worst of men. Maybe you're sitting down there by the tracks. Maybe you're under a bridge. Maybe your radio is all hazy and crackly. Surely, listen to this. You in prison, you over there in St. Peter's mental ward. Surely he will deliver thee out of the snare of the fowler. Surely all of your sins are forgiven. Surely every promise, all 7,000 plus in the Bible are for you. Somehow he'll work them out. But if you are self-righteous, self-sufficient, ungodly, careless, or worldly, then you got to repent. You got to be born again. You are in the snare. You that aren't saved, you're surely in the snare of the fowler. But surely he will deliver thee. Call upon him in the time of trouble and he will answer. I know God answers. And above all things, this preacher up here is going to tell the truth. So help me, God. And he will. Because the truth in this day and age is just a little bit of different thing. See, a lot of times we tell a lie in the truth. Because, see, we figure that we have to help the Word of God out to be true. No, it's true all the time. God's dealing with your heart and my heart to just tell the truth. See, that's a snare not to tell the truth. How many men have suffered for just telling the truth? I mean, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help them God. I'll give you a truth tonight. There is not one person in the whole of this world, if they call upon the name of the Lord, that wouldn't be saved. God saves them all. He wishes that none should perish, that all should have everlasting life. And I'll tell you another truth. God puts your sins in the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. And I'll tell you something else. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be judged if you're born again according to sin. You're going to be born, you're going to gain your crowns and your rewards when you get up there on how that you went ahead and you gave out love. How warm a person you were. How much you told the truth, preacher. Yeah. And sometimes you tell the truth, you're going to appear unlovely. Well, Jesus said, "You vipers!" Well, that wasn't too lovely. It was the truth, though, wasn't it? So if you tell the truth.